In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
This morning, I'm going to be rounding up the series Spirit of Faith. And, you know, it's interesting, we were doing boot camp during the week and we're doing Spirit of Faith series on Sunday. And, you know, some amazing things have been taught in the last few weeks. I think last week we talked about the power of rest, that inward quietness that is required for you to still the storm. And we're made to realize that the creativity and the productivity of man is tied to his ability to rest. Even naturally speaking, doctors will tell you that if you are not sleeping enough, it impacts your productivity negatively. I said something on Friday while I was driving to church today. You know, my wife is a missionary now, so it's nobody to talk to. So I was talking to myself. So last weekend she was in Dallas. This weekend she's in Toronto. So pray for me, the life of the husband of a missionary. So, you know, so I was talking to myself, and I remember one thing I said on Friday, which is funny but not funny. I said something along the line of the fact that don't allow people to confuse you with messages like if you are sleeping 6 hours a day, you are wasting a quarter of your life away. God designed that at least a quarter of your life should be devoted to sleep. That's when your cells, you know, people have died. I still, because of not resting, I still watch a clip on Instagram, was a few days ago, of a guy that was singing in Brazil. And he fell and went to heaven. God did not call him home, but God received him. Don't allow your foolishness to lead to early receiver. God would have wanted you to stay around, but because you are foolish. Eating well, exercising, sleeping well is part of God's plan. The same way there is a law of gravity that you cannot violate in the name of divine protection. There are certain things that God has set as laws that govern the effectiveness of human system, body specifically. So now taking care of yourself in the name of your person of faith is foolishness. So naturally sleep is needed for your effectiveness. But beyond that, there is a biblical rest which has to do with an inward rest, the ability to be inside a stormy situation and yet you are able to lay your head down and sleep. If you can sleep like that in a storm, it's because there's an inward force of rest that is working within you. And Jesus said, he said, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will never get to a place where there will be no issues to deal with. There will be somebody that will misbehave. If it's not your spouse, it will be your child. If it's not your child, it will be your boss. But whatever is misbehaving is a storm that God has given you a formula to calm. So don't lose your sleep over it. Don't lose your sleep over it. There is no situation without a solution. Write it down. There is no situation without a solution. There is no situation without a solution. I shared with you a few weeks ago how on one of our major programs, Summer Blast, that should be about how many years ago? Was it 6 years ago or four years? It should be 5 years ago. Almost 5 years ago, because that was our 28th wedding anniversary. We had an amazing service here. My pastor was around, wedding renewal. You know, some of you were here. And bam, the following morning, we woke up. My wife was so tired. When we're coming back from the Saturday service, we drove different cars. So rather than park in the garage, she just parked in the driveway and left the car of the key inside the car. And you know, the enemy is so stupid. Why is it that it was on that day that some interesting boys would take excursion from Chicago to our neighborhood? So they came visiting. And they went straight to our car and borrowed the car without permission. That's where I saw it. It was borrowed. So I said, really, was it borrowed? Yes, I have the proof that it was borrowed because I still have the car till today. Anyway, the car was borrowed, and we didn't realize it was borrowed until 8:30 or thereabout in the morning when it was time to go to church for the final session of Summer Blast. So I came out, and I did not see the car. Have you ever had to search for something in a way that it doesn't make sense? It got to a point I was almost searching. Baby, where did you park the car? He said it was on the highway. So I said, maybe you thought you parked in the way you parked in the garage. So I went inside the garage, and the garage was empty. And thank God I was the first person to notice that. So right there, I received the revelation. It has been borrowed. So I was prepared. So the rest of the family came out. They're like, oh, where's the car? And I went this way. And everybody got the message. Said, the car is missing. But boy, I'm not missing. You are not missing. So we're still going to have the final session of Summer Blast today. And there will be no mention of any car that was borrowed without permission until the service is over. So I talked to my kids. Because parents, you have a responsibility to train your kids in faith. Because kids will always be kids. They're like, I said, so I warn all of them. I said, if I hear me about a car being borrowed, you're in trouble. So I said, thank God there are two cars. And the other car was not borrowed. They were gracious enough to leave the other car unborrowed. So everybody entered the second car, and we drove to church. And, you know, I think Reverend Victor was the one that preached, and preached, and we had an amazing service. And I think after the service, maybe it was Pastor Lumi there, I was just like, ah, Pastor Lumi, somebody borrowed that car overnight. They're like, really, have you called the cops? Oh, that reminds me. That was when we now picked the cops. This to announce to you that somebody borrowed. Anyway, the long and short, I don't like magnifying the enemy. So I won't bore you with the details. But the most important thing is, in about 2-3 weeks, it was restored. And after that, we've gotten multiple cars. Don't allow situations that are nothing to throw you off balance. When you see a situation, this is the way to look at it. It's a situation that will be resolved.
Yeah.
Before that situation happened, God had a plan to resolve it. So that's why, while dealing with the situation, I maintain my position of rest. Don't you anyone say, neighbor? From today, you are forbidden to engage in the criminal activity of anxiety, worry, and fear. It's a criminal activity. Very criminal. Very, very criminal. Because when you engage in fear, worry, and anxiety over something that Jesus has already resolved, is a proof that you don't trust him. God said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Distress, nakedness, tribulation. In all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. So what are you doing putting your mind on a situation Jesus has resolved? Put your mind on the word. Is it a job? Is it a contract? It's resolved. It's resolved. In fact, all these interesting faces will make the story sweeter. Had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Somebody shout, it has been resolved.
Has been resolved.
Come on, shout one more time and say, it has been resolved. As I round up the series this morning, The Spirit of Faith, I call it 4.0, I want to talk about God's word, or the word of God. God's word, because I've come to realize what we call God kind of faith is centered around God's word. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by what? Hearing. And that's why every believer with Spiritual intelligence pays attention and is deliberate about what he's hearing. Because if faith comes by hearing, that means when you stop hearing, faith will stop coming. There are people that you are still labeling people of faith, but really, they have taken a vacation from faith because they have stopped hearing. The moment you stop hearing the word of God, listen, whatever you thought you knew gets moved from revelation to mental assent. Revelation is what functions in your heart to activate the faith of God, to receive from God. While mental assent is something you have in your brain. But faith does not work in your head. It works in your heart. So for faith to be activated in your heart, you must be hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why it's important to be part of a church community where the word of God is taught. You know, there are places you go to that is more of politics. Politics. Faith does not come by hearing politics. Faith does not come by the declaration of the tradition of men. In this church, we have this tradition. It does not generate faith. The faith of God depends on the hearing of what? Of the word of God. Can you say, somebody say after me, say, I hear the word of God consistently for the faith of God to work consistently. When you stop hearing, faith stops working. And it does not matter for how long you've been a Christian. Oh, I got saved before Jesus was born. Oh, yes. The shores of Galilee, all those, oh, were there. That has no relevance with the faith of God. Archbishop, Archpope, Archdeacon, whatever your title is, if you stop hearing, you will not be able to function in the God kind of faith. This morning, apart from preparing the message I'm going to be preaching, I still had to hear the word of God for myself. Because on a daily basis, there are things we deal with that chokes us, that drains us. So you need to be refreshed. You need to be refired. And that's why community of faith is so key. Having people that think like you around you. People that even if you want to sleep, the way they will slap you, you wake up. No wonder the Bible says, woe unto him that is what? Alone. So there's a hearing of the word that makes faith. I remember I said something, I think in the first class of the boot camp, if you were part of it, I said faith is not just faith, but faith is faith in Christ. So you must be hearing the word of Christ for your faith to be effective. Because at times you see people say, oh, I have faith, I have faith. No, I don't know the kind of faith you are talking about. But the God kind of faith is based on Christ. What Christ finished on my behalf. Because what some people are calling faith is just stubbornness or strong will. No, I just believe. I believe he will come back. And that's why God kind of faith is always connected to the promise. There must be a promise in the Logos. A promise in what? In the Logos that your faith, your God kind of faith, is resting on. It's not just, I just know, I know. Based on what? It's because I know. You're a strong-willed person that is trying to equate your strong will to faith. But if it's God kind of faith, there must be a word reference, something in God's word that you are resting on. Now, turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you have God's word for the different aspects of your life? Come on, get response. Based on the response of your partner, of your, we know whether he needs help or not. We just say, yes, I just believe generally. There's no such thing as believing generally. Why are you so convinced that you can't die like a chicken? Because the scripture says, with long life will he satisfy me. Don't you never say, by the way, did you hear the pastor? I can't die anyhow. You will never be told that I slept and I didn't wake up. I can't die anyhow. I have an assignment to fulfill. The hand of the Lord is upon me. And I'm not going to let God down. Don't your neighbor say, I will not let you do my job. I will fulfill my assignment. So face your business as I face mine. I won't let you raise my children because I'll be around to raise them. Oh, come on, talk to me. Oh, grobolaka sata baba baba. Tomorrow is guaranteed because I'm a covenant child. Hey, beleku sataba. Irrespective of what is happening in the economy of the world, I will be fine. Are you listening to me? The word of God is the basis for the God kind of faith. So very briefly this morning, I want to talk about, you know, there are two expressions of the word. In the Greek, one of them is known as logos, while the other one is known as what? Rema. How many of you have heard Rema before? Rema, not the singer. Rema. He's called Rema because he grew up in church. But there is a real Rema, which speaks of the spoken word of God. But there is another Greek word, translated word. And is the Greek word logos, which speaks of the written or the generalized word of God. In fact, your Bible is literally a compilation of logos. The word of God that was documented based on the breath of God that was given to men and women in different generations. And do you know, when you encounter those words, in spite of the fact that some of them were written 4,000 before now, 2,500 years ago, before now, Old Testament especially, and mostly the New Testament was written 2,000 years ago. In spite of the fact that these words were put together over 2,000 years ago, each one of them carries the tangibility of the power of God. So much that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So there's such a thing as, you know, the life of God being released through the words that come out of what? The mouth of God. And those words are the basis of the God kind of faith. Without those words, God kind of faith has no life. So when you are struggling in God kind of faith, mostly it's because your word tank is low. All of a sudden, you are struggling to believe God will do what he promised to do. So what you need to do is go back. Go back to the base. Go back. And start filling your heart afresh with the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. There's a richness of the word of God that makes the God kind of faith natural. Matthew chapter 12, I believe verse 35 or 36 says, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, a good man
brings good treasure out of his heart, while an evil man of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So the question this morning is your heart filled with good materials? Because you will need it someday. Life has a way of squeezing what you have on your inside out of you. I was once told of a man that was preaching a series on the name of Jesus. How powerful the name of Jesus is. I think it happened somewhere in Africa. And, you know, it's one of those auditoriums where there's a ceiling fan. Some of you know, of course, we even have ceiling fans here. And it was a low ceiling. So the man got carried away. As one said, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The wrong righteous run it into it. And he had forgotten that the ceiling was low. And the fan was rolling. So the man threw his hand up underneath the spinning ceiling fan. And bam! The fan hit his hand. And the man screamed, Shogo. So, for the sake of people who does not know Shogo, Shogo is one of those fake dogs, small gods. They call him the god of, is it thunder? No, that Ogun is Iron. Why do I know even? I should not even know those things. Okay. Anyway, he's one of those fake dogs. But apparently, the revelation of the god of thunder was stronger in him than the Almighty God. So when the crisis hit, without thinking, the inside jumped out. Sure, go. He wanted to catch himself, but it was too late. The rest of the church said, I thought you were. Apparently, the man was just a professional preacher. He doesn't believe what he was saying. You don't know people until they are faced with crisis. Your insight comes out. You see people freaking out. Oh my God, oh my God. And you see people standing in confidence. It's okay, we'll be fine. What you do before crisis, it's what determines how you will respond in crisis. And whether you're a man of faith or you are not a man of faith, there will be crisis time. There will always be the day of adversity. Because there is a devil that runs the world you are in. The God of this world. And he does not like you. Now, turn to your neighbor. Say, I have a special announcement for you. The devil hates your God. Tell at least 3 people around you, the devil hates your God. It's an announcement, just in case you are forgotten. Somebody say, I don't know why the devil will do this to me. I don't disturb him. You should be disturbing him. Listen. Whether you disturb the devil or you don't disturb the devil, he will come at you. He hates you. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Oh, but I love it that the scripture did not end there. He said, but I have come that you may have life. This life we're talking about can only be released through the God kind of faith. You can't afford to live anyhow. You have to stuff yourself with the word of God day and night. So when that crisis day, when that adversity day shows up, boy, the word on your inside jumps at the crisis. Oh, before you will not be the one to back out. The crisis will back out. Oh, for whatsoever is born of God, overcome the world, and this is the victory. Even our faith, the God kind of faith, we always lead you to a place of victory. But without the word of God inside of you, you wouldn't know how to respond in the day of crisis. There have been a few crises I've had to deal with in life. You know, I remember I've shared this multiple times. We got married a few years after we got married. So let's start having babies. And the report came saying, I'm not man enough to be a father. So I had to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God I've been stuffing in. I went back to it and started remeditating on them. For none shall be barren in the land. The seed of God is inside of me. In the world there is life. Life, life, life. And in the middle of my meditation, that night, June 2002, I knew whatever was not working had been repaired. I closed my Bible, went to sleep. That was middle of June 2022. My son was born March 16, 2023. And to show it was not if, 2003. Okay. 9 months after. And to show it was not a fluke, we topped it up in 2004. So 2003, 2004. And then I said, there's no need to prove any point again. Other point I've been proving. But there came that crisis. I was in the doctor's office, and there was a medical report that says I might never be able to father a child. I could have taken that report and started meditating on it. What do we do now? Oh, my God. Listen, I am not against going through different alternatives, medical alternatives to solve problems, especially health-related problems. But before you consult the alternatives, why not go back to the source? Yes. Because if you get so used with the alternative in the natural, what about those areas that those alternatives have no solution for yet? So there's a word of God that covers every aspect of your life. It covers your health. There's a word of God that covers your finances. There's a word of God that covers your marriage. There's a word of God that covers raising children. I mean, there were scary stories. I mean, when... I mean, after I became a young father of our kids were misbehaving, I say, oh, you remember that uncle, his son slapped him. I say, very scary. He called cops on it. Can I give birth to a child? And the child will pick up the phone and call the cops on me. I say, no. So I had to go back to Isaiah chapter 54. That says, great shall be the peace of my children. The scripture that says, my children shall be taught of the Lord. I and my whole household, we will serve the Lord. So I anchored my heart with that. And I said, these kids will not misbehave. They will live for God. They will be decent kids. They will be expression of God's goodness. And guess what? When they hit teenage years, the devil struck. My son was just one grumble, angry young man at 13, 14, just, I'm like just frowning all over the place. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Is he hormone? So there was a day he was just, and you know, women, my wife and him, they would go and log ahead. Me, I would back out. I'm like, okay. But one day, I was just mad. So I went inside the room. I said, in the name of Jesus, I come against every foul spirit. Now, listen, there are things messing up with people's mind that you think are natural. So I said, his name is Toluwani. No, he belongs to God. I just knew that this is not natural. How can a boy wake up and just be angry? Angry at the whole world. Some parents can understand. What did we do again? So I went, so rather than deal with the situation on the surface, I went inside the room and I went to pray and I prayed. And at some point, I sensed in my spirit that there were demonic spirits. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke those foul spirits. So after praying for a few minutes, I came out of the room. And lo and behold, the devil is my witness. The boy started smiling. I said, why were you angry? I don't know. Me, I know. They are demons. I said, you foul spirit, not in my house. You won't mess up. And that's how a sweet boy turns into a monster overnight. I have nothing against therapists, but there are certain things therapists can do. They are demonic. Cast out the demon. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Demons are everywhere. In Africa, in Europe, in North America. So he said, oh yeah. Thank God I left my village. Listen. Those demons, they don't need visa. A physical relocation does not stop demons. Okay. In fact, the demons of North America are more sophisticated. Of course, they have their area of specialization. So there are demons everywhere. I remember a friend told me about a church he was part of when he was in college. And he said, whenever, I think he was part of the worship team, whenever worship is going on, this woman would just start having epileptic seizure in every worship service. That they will have to disrupt the service, call 911. And, you know, people will gather around and start finding out, oh, she's under stress. She's, I said, nah, this demon, cast it out. There's something called demonic manifestation. You know, I'm so glad that as a young Christian, I saw demons being cast out. Some of you, we need to take you on some practical exercise. I've seen cases that somebody that was raised here all her life, who's never been to Africa forever, hands were laid on her during summer blast, and he started speaking strong Yoruba, not even Yoruba, not, if you know Nigeria very well, not the Lagos, the interior accent. A language she doesn't speak. The demon said, hey, I'm here. And she was, said, do you want them to let me go? Because if I leave, that means you'll be broke. There are worlds that are demonically controlled. You know, there are demons of lust. My pastor was sharing somebody a story with me. Someone she pastored who was stupendously rich. Every business prospers. Apparently, there was a demonic root to it. And because she knew that if those demons leave, the wealth will no longer come supernaturally. It's still supernatural, but it's negative supernatural. For so long, she held on to it. Eventually, she opened up to my pastor and said, I'm scared because I know the way I get money is not natural. And if this demon is, and it was a demon of lust, she sleeps with anything. Or slept, she has been delivered now. So the more people she slept with, the more opportunities will come. Eventually, she came to herself and said, help me. They had to convince her that God can help you and give you supernatural capacity to make money without having to sleep with men. I'm not talking about the men that slept with her paying her. No. It doesn't have to be the men paying her. But for as long as that spirit of loss is finding free expression, there will be contracts, opportunities. I'm not saying all this is to scare you. I'm saying this, that you must be rooted in the Word of God. Because what the Word of God does is that it cleanses you. Then after cleansing you, I love what Acts chapter 20 verse 32 says. He said, now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. The Word of God is able to what? Build you up and do what? Give you your inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You know, to the glory of God, next month our focus is going to be redemption realities. And you know, there's Easter at the end of the month. Right? I don't know if you know Jesus died. Okay. Until I came to America, that's when I realized Easter is not necessarily an holiday. In fact, there's some parts of the world, it's 40 days. They have started in Lent. I remember my first Easter, my wife, Good Friday, my wife was dressing up in San Jose. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to work. She said, ah! Jesus died. He said, no, my boss does not know that. So we're going to be dealing with redemption realities. But I want to show you something from the world. Come on, are you getting blessed this morning? Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. I want to show you something from the world.
Wow. What a service. Galatians chapter 13 and verse 14. The word of God is key to the God kind of faith. When you pull away from the word, you can't function in God kind of faith. Can we read it together? One, two, three, go. Okay, okay. Because of your response, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. You should know me by now. Don't dishonor the word of God. I know you have not eaten breakfast, but pretend. Okay, we're going to read verse 13 and 14. Are we ready? One, two, three, go. Verse 14, please. Move to the next verse. So what Christ redeemed you for can only be delivered through faith. Fine, Christ did his part. He paid the price. You must do the receiving. Lift up your two hands and say, I receive through faith. Come on, say one more time. Say, I receive through faith. You may be seated. The receiving is what? Through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And faith comes by hearing. So when you stop hearing, faith goes on vacation. So there's a written word which covers literally every aspect of life. And when you begin to spend time in communion, in meditation, guess what? The rhema, the spoken word will jump out of that written word, and the faith of God will be activated. Because I've seen cases of people running down Lagos. Lagos is powerful. In fact, the route to Rema is mostly through what? Lagos. So faith comes by Rema. But Lagos is what will take you to what? Rema. Lagos speaks of the general word of God. Why? Rema speaks of a specific word of God that comes up in your heart that ignites your faith to receive from God. So I've talked about the word of God. As I conclude, do you know, as powerful as the word of God is, until those words now become your words, you can't receive. The receiving is tied to your ability to make God's word your words. Mark 11 says, whosoever shall say, there's a saying that nobody can do for you but you. Is he who says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, that we have whatsoever he desires. So if you are not saying, you are not saying. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life and the what? In the power of what? Your tongue. You know, it's so sad when I see believers that the only confession they know about is the confession of sin. Confess your sin. Confess your sin. Should you confess your sin? Of course. You should not live in sin when you realize you've done something wrong. You should say, Father, I'm sorry. Of course, knowing that the blood of Jesus takes care of it. Because if you know that the blood of Jesus takes care of it, you will not live in the condemnation of that sin. In spite of the fact that you sinned it, you will realize that he that knew no sin was made to be sin, that you might be righteous. So you are righteous not because of what you did, but because of what he did. So you don't live in condemnation of sin. But beyond confession of sin, there is a confession that is so essential. It's the confession of the word of God. And I'm not talking about just saying the word of God during prayer time. Because that's what religion is all about. You see people declaring, I'm the head, I'm not the tail, I'm above, I've never been head. All things are working together. And they are praying the Holy Ghost and declaring the word of God. And the same person will leave that church service and go outside. And a friend that he has not seen for the last few weeks, we see him say, oh, wow, good to see you. I say, oh, yeah, things are rough. Things are very, very rough. You mean it? Oh. Beyond what you can imagine, I'm really going through a lot. I'm going through a lot. I don't even know where my rent or my mortgage is going to come from because, you know, things are really messed up. Can't you see it? Biden messed up. Trump is no solution. And you go, huh, huh, huh. Really?
The jaws shall, he did not say the jaws shall pray by faith. He said the jaws shall live by faith. So it's not just what you say during prayer, it's how you live. You must maintain alignment with the word, whether you are in service or you are out of service.
Let me share this with you. This happened several years ago when I was in college. For the sake of people that don't know, I went to a school. And in fact, there's a certificate that says I'm supposed to be a pharmacist. So when I was in pharmacy school, I had a few friends. Some of them were not in pharmacy. My friend was doing one of those social sciences courses. So it was in his final year, 1992. That was how many years ago? 32 years ago. So, imagine, final year, you just finished one of your finals, and you came out. And one of your classmates, and you know, is one of those finals sent from hell. It's like the lecturer made up his mind that nobody will graduate. It was bad. So after they came out, everybody, or should I say, most people felt like, oh my God, what kind of a finance is this? Now, there was this guy in that class who gave himself the office of the speaker of the class. So he came out and he made a declaration. He said, ah, we have all failed. True life story. That was when my friend jumped up. He said, you know, you attacked him like a dog. The guy was shocked. He said, never in your life will you speak over my life. If you want to fail, fail. I'm not failing. Do you know, he's someone that God kind of faith is rooted in him that will respond like that. Another instance, my friend Chegwabugo in California, several years ago, was flying from one state to another. You know, one of those turbulence that your place is shaky, and it was really bad. I mean, the announcement was going on, please get ready for anything, you know, it might go wrong. And there was this woman that sat next to her, true life story. So she started getting all manner of piece of paper, and she writes something there and talk it in. Apparently, it was her last will that she was talking in. So my friend was just looking at, like, what's going on? So after a while, she's like, did you hear what they said? We should prepare for any eventuality. Anything can go wrong. We might all die. And my friend said, stop there. He said, you will die. The woman woke up and said, yes. He said, why would you say that? I said, because I noticed you are preparing to die. She said, really? He said, yes. He said, and by the way, if you die, I will grant a press conference and tell the whole world how fear killed you. True life story. And of course, the plane did not crash. So the woman was looking at him like, what kind of a strange man is this? Confession, the word confession in the Greek is the word homologia, which means to agree with God by saying the same thing as him. I want you to ask yourself as I round up, are you saying what God is saying over your health? Are you saying what God is saying over your finances? Are you saying what God is saying over your children? Are you saying what God is saying over the different aspects of your life? Or do you just open your mouth and release words, idle words? And the Bible says you will be judged for every idle word. That judgment starts from here. Because you are justified by what you say and condemned by what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you talk anyhow, you will have an anyhow life. Get on your feet. Jesus said, the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when we're talking about faith, it involves God's words and your words. Your words and God's word must line up together.
Faith is cooked in the heart by believing, but is served through the lips by speaking. What you are not saying, you are not serving. What you are not saying, you are not what? Serving. When my kids were very young and I didn't have that kind of money, I kept on saying, none of my children will need a school loan. If you didn't know me, you would think it's because I had a lot of reserve in my account. No. I said, God can't give me children. And I will now ask them to go and get loan for school. Please don't be under condemnation if your children are on your school loan. But I found a rema in the word of God to cover that aspect of my children's life. Because no child is a liability. God won't send a child without their provision. So their provision will show up concerning every expense that needs to be taken care of. And God is my witness. They are in college, good schools, and God pays it every time. You will never see me meditating on the bill. There was a time, was it a few more, like 5 months ago, there was a bill that was sent from my son's school. I was kind of interested. And my wife said, baby, have you seen it? He was like, open it. Unconsciously, I did not open it. I mean, consciously, I did not open it. I said, I will not meditate on that bill. Because I know, as far as I'm concerned, the bill is paid. Did he get paid? Yes, he got paid. I could have like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What do I have to sell? The bill will be what? Paid. God kind of faith and your words, they go line. If you say it, you will have it. If you are not saying it, you will not have it though. You know, your angels are waiting on your words to execute your promise. There are angels assigned to deliver every aspect of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. But they need you to say it before they can deliver it. If you are not placing the order, you will not get the delivery. In the school of faith, orders are made by words. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, the heart was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God saw darkness, but what did he call? Lights. Everything was messed up. He did not call the problem. He called the solution. The same place that was dark and void and nothing was working, by verse 31, the Bible says, and he saw everything he had made. And he said, it was good. And you are made in the image and likeness of God. You make by your words. Your world is a product of your words. If you are not saying it, you are not having it. Your words make your world. Did you hear God's word this morning? Yes. Did you receive some God this morning? Yes. Lift up your hands and just give him praise everywhere. Oh, bokosataya kataya. I live by the word. Somebody say, I live by the words. Come on, say loud and clear. Say, I live by the word. Come on, give God a shout of prayer.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.